last week we took a look at letting go, recognizing those things that we're attached to and letting them go. And I hope those of you who heard that talk came away with the idea that it's not so simple, that there's a whole process that goes into it, and that in some ways we let go when we're darn well ready to. So this week we're talking about what appears to be the opposite, kind of a holding on with determination. And there really isn't a tension between the two processes. Actually, it takes determination to let go. I'll invite you to just take a minute and review the kinds of things that you think are, in your life, are worthy of determination, a resolute stick-to-itiveness. And now, recognizing that I'm a Dharma and meditation teacher, imagine what you think I'm going to recommend that you bring determination to. And this is where it gets simple, in a way. Bring determination to what leads to the letting go. In a very kind of long, drawn-out process last week, I went through what it sometimes takes us to let go of something. I compared it to letting go of things that you want to put in your garage sale. In practice, it can be a kind of an unpleasant process. I mean, actually there were parts of the garage sale that were unpleasant. But in practice, what we do is watch how we suffer as a result of whatever it is that needs letting go of. And mostly it's mental fabrications, proliferations. And this is expressed in many different ways. Excessive thought, imaginings, delusions, the yada 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 of the mind. That's the kind of stuff we should and can let go of. But the process of letting go of the yada da yada da that causes us to suffer, Buddha compared it to letting go of a hot coal. We have to feel the pain. We have to know that this is something we do not want to hang on to. So say the hot coal is really just warm on the outside, but the harder we cling to it, maybe the hotter it feels. Just so we can stretch the process out in time a little in our imaginations. How do we then feel the heat? Well, we pay attention in the phenomena that arise in our minds that are associated with suffering are countless. And they will add up to one heck of a hot coal. But each little individual one, maybe we can say, well, that's not so bad. I can live with that. But you add them all together, and you can be pretty cranky. Which eventually will bring me around to my broken toe. I've turned this week in putting together the thoughts I want to convey for this Dharma talk to sort of our teachers, Ajahn Sumedho and Ajahn Chah. Joseph Goldstein, Jack Kornfield, Sharon Salzberg studied with Ajahn Chah. And Ajahn Sumedho is also another, you know, outstanding teacher of Dharma practice. Ajahn Sumedho said that Buddha didn't teach us about the mind so that we can be scholars of Buddhist theory, but just to point us in the right direction for our practice. Whenever we hold a concept of the mind or of our practice, that just becomes something else that we're clinging to. He says, instead of trying to be mindful, we need to just be aware of the mind. This is a 24/7 occupation, but we learn the technique in meditation. And that's why I urged you this evening to let go of any expectations of what your meditation experience was going to be like. And just meet that moment when the mind, when you realize the mind has wandered, with acceptance and love, so that you can bring a clear awareness to it. That clear awareness, unburdened by expectations of what your meditation is supposed to be like, will allow you to actually see the nature of those mental phenomena that have arisen and taken your attention away from your meditation. For me, it's today, it's low-grade pain. It's on a 10-point scale, it's right around 4. So I'm not running for the drugs. I'm not icing it every 10 minutes. I'm, you know, about the only thing you can do for a broken toe, especially the little pinky, is just elevate the foot. Don't walk any more than you have to. You know, take it easy. Don't injure it again. So I'm a little bored. And I have made a reservation and prepaid a lodge up in the Sierras for this week to go romp around in the mountains. Mm-hmm. So I've got myself a mood. I've got a lot of mental phenomena that are accompanied by suffering. And I've had a very inefficient day. I have to say I've been, you know, there's been this sort of core awareness that's balanced and clear. And can see, I have a troubled mind. I got a broken toe and a troubled mind, but I'm okay. If I had an idea that having a troubled mind meant the game was all over, it would be. So if we sit down in meditation, and we've got grasshopper mind just jumping all over the place, well, then that's what we study. If we've got broken toe mind, that's what we look at. Ajahn Sumedho says that if we fill our mind with concepts and opinions, and in fact, he's kind of down on, you know, studying Dharma, per se, Dharma scholarship, you know, just go to the clarity of the moment's experience. If we fill our mind with these concepts and opinions, we're increasing the opportunity for doubt. And you see this in your own mind or, you know, in the process of a discussion. Well, if I do that, then X, Y, or Z will happen. How do I deal with that? Well, the answer is watch. See what happens. See how it plays out in your own mind. Trying to think it through, trying to get on top of it intellectually, it's just more mental phenomena, just more stuff to cling to. Just be with the moment's experience. Be determined about it. So, meditation and Dharma practice in daily life is this determined letting go of preconceptions, of judgment, of how things are, the mental phenomena that we notice, and then deliberately clearing the mind to just see what's true right now. All of these mental phenomena I'm talking about are passing, transient, impermanent. Some of them, you can see them shoot like meteors across the corner of your awareness. You know, the moment you become aware of them in meditation, they're gone. You can barely even recall what they were about. Others land right in the middle, leave a 2-mile crater. Takes you a long time to crawl out of. No difference. Mindfully note, oh, shooting star, or suddenly I'm 500 feet deep in dukkha. What does it feel like? What is a broken toe mood? Well, it's kind of itchy. It's kind of gray. There's a fuzziness to my mind. There's a lot of distraction. And when I look at it, when I let myself feel this mood, I can almost see the dots, you know, that they use to shade pictures, you know. Those dots have to do with my disappointment about the camping trip, my preference to not be in pain, my preference to be mobile and to be able to go and do whatever I want. And then there's a deeper level, and that has to do with my disappointment in the impermanence of the body, the unreliability of this vehicle for my awareness. It can't be relied on. And every time I am hit with that, it's a new disappointment, because I really want to believe that this body is permanent and it will do for me what I want it to do and that it isn't going to die. It's just not true. Hanging on to that every time causes suffering. And it's not me. As fond as I've become of it over the decades, it's not me. It's not even mine. Going to come a time when I'm going to have to just let go of it. So that's the deeper level. And the more I look at it, the more I'm just with it, the more truth clarifies the mind. And I have to admit, you know, this crater is kind of a deep one. It's connected to a lot of other deep ones. I'm not going to let go of all of the associations today. But by seeing them with this moment's clarity, it gets easier. The overall clarity gets better. And when the mind is empty, in those moments when there just good, serene clarity. Then we get to ask, who is it that lets go? Just last week in our discussion, someone got to that space and found it distressing. It's a state of uncertainty. Sir, you know, surely when I, this afternoon, when I was looking at, you know, my attachment to the body, it was a distressing recognition. But Ajahn Sumedho's recommendation is, when we get there, just allow it to be. Allow that feeling of distress to be, and look at that. How does that feel? And allow this process to complete itself. This is not our thinking that we're talking about. This isn't us figuring it out. This is that clear knowing, that empty awareness, seeing through all the yada-da-yada-da of the mind to the truth of what is. So our practice is repeatedly investigating the cycle of suffering that accompanies the arising and the passing away of the stuff in our minds. And we do this without attachment, with an awareness that isn't itself attached to our practice being one way or another, until we're no longer victims of that cycle of arising and passing away, of phenomena that cause suffering. Ajahn Chah says that when that which knows sees the cause and the end of suffering, we see not only the body but also the mind as not us and not ours. And we let go. I am not the gritchy mood that I've experienced today. I am that awareness, that balanced and relatively serene awareness that saw the gritchy mood. So our job is just to be aware and know the nature of all that arises. Very simple, as long as we don't complicate it. Too much thinking. Now, to our aid in this practice is the Eightfold Path. We clarify our mind, cultivate clear knowing through ethics, wisdom, and practice. The ethics is important. It's a discipline. It's a letting go, as is the practice of generosity. Looking at how it feels when we let go of what we're giving to help others or to express gratitude. Watching that feeling. Watching the effect on suffering and the end of suffering. That gratitude and generosity do not coexist with greed and hatred. In the moment that we're feeling generous and grateful, we're happy. Antidotes. And knowing this, knowing that it's about suffering and the end of suffering, and how to use these antidotes to know the difference between what causes suffering and what causes something beyond bliss, beyond joy, that clear, contented knowing. Knowing that is wisdom. And it's something we use in every moment as we examine our experience. We use it to water the flowers, not the weeds. To nourish the thoughts, the mental phenomena that lead to clarity and joy and love. And to take the energy away from mental phenomena that lead to greed and hatred and confusion. As our practice is established, we're investigating with determination all experiences that arise in learning their true nature and thus our true nature. And this process will mature at its own rate. We can't start second guessing our practice, saying, well, I've been at it 2 years, I should be further along than I am now. You are where you are. Your practice has a wisdom of its own. Every teacher I've ever had has said something along the lines of, once it gets going, you don't work your practice anymore, it works you. So our progress ceases to be under our control. Just like when we sit down and meditate, it's not under our control what that session is going to be like. If this is going to be one of those times when we're kind of in this white out of barely conscious, not quite snoring, content, but out of it, or if it's going to be, you know, legs jumping, restlessness of the mind and body, when is the bell going to ring? Or something, you know, any millions of things in between. We don't know. And our job is just to be with it. And our job is just to be with wherever our practice is in our life, this month, this week, right now. It is pure delusion, Ajahn Chah says, to try to force results in our practice. Let go of any idea of goal or progress and just keep doing your part. It's a common craving to not want to be agitated or distracted. And believe me, I felt that craving arrive today too. I wanted a mind that wasn't half grayed out by a broken toe, for Pete's sake. But that desire for the mental state to be other than what it is just another craving. So recognize that and keep practicing, and maybe it'll fall away. Eventually, it will. So when we encounter an emotion or a mood, note the thinking that accompanies it. That's where the preconceptions will be. They will reveal themselves. Spy on your own thinking. See if that mood or emotion or thought pattern causes joy or suffering. Look at the cause and effect pattern there. Get to know it thoroughly. Feel the heat of the coal until there is a letting go. It's not the mind, the troubled mind, that lets go. It's the clear knowing. It's the deepest heart that lets go. It will feel like the thing is falling away on its own. Our practice is to investigate everything until it releases its grip. Practice with unflinching dedication, says Ajahn Chah. Try not to think too much. Whether your practice is peaceful or not, don't worry. If you do the work, the results that are right for you will follow.